Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season. Hey everybody, welcome to the Nation, the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with my new second-in-command producer, Dave. He's new to the Nation, but not to radio, and we're coming to you from the Turn It and Burn It in Studios, downtown Portland here, and we'd like to welcome all of our affiliates along the line with the Radio Northwest Network. You've ever watched our old buddy Myron Mixon on Pitmasters? Well, I watched a couple of the episodes last week, and it was pretty damn funny, I'll tell you, but that's what brings our guest today with us, Big Mo. Big Mo
has... How you doing, man?
I'm good. Big Mo owns Ponderosa Barbecue out of Des Moines, Iowa. And Mo has got the coolest glasses and cigars of anybody on that show. And I know Myron smokes cigars, too, but Mo's got the cigar thing down, so...
Yeah. I am a cigar aficionado. Myron smokes them, too, but I don't think he doesn't smoke them as much as I do.
Now, you seem to always have one kind of floating around whenever they're doing your close-ups and stuff, so...
Yeah.
So give us a little history, Mo. Where did you learn and why did you learn and get involved with barbecue? I mean, not even the competitive side, just barbecue in general.
Well, I come from a large family. My grandmother had 17 kids. She was an awesome cook, and we had a tight-knit family. And so we always had like old 55-gallon drum. In her backyard, I had a 55-gallon drum in our backyard, and aunts and uncles and stuff. So somebody was always grilling or smoking, and we always had get-togethers on the weekends, and it was kind of ingrained into me, grilling, doing a lot of grilling, grew up, and then for me personally, what I did was I went to the Navy. I just started competing, I started seeing television shows, competition shows on TV. I started competing in 2006. I was just like cooking off cook-offs, because I just really enjoyed the environment. That's how it started, and I just have a passion of going out and cooking, contests. I'm a one-man team, self-taught cook. Just get out there and cook and have a good time. Do the best I can.
Oh, absolutely. Now, there's an awful lot of people that I know that, work the competition circuit, and also quite a few I've interviewed. It's kind of amazing to me, and I think it's a very good thing, that they are kind of self-taught. They didn't have to go to a school, per se. They took whatever grill they had or smoker they had, and they came up with the flavors that they liked, not necessarily what the judges might like, but what they liked, and they kind of got started that way. And I think that's a really good thing for people to start out, because as you guys were saying on the show, you were in Carolina doing that episode, and none of you fared very well in the judges' scoring, your turn-in looked great. So you never know what the hell those people want.
Yeah, and that's it's all subjective. It really is. I mean, wherever you go. I truly believe, granted, I'm as competitive as any other guy or gal, and you want to do the best that you can. You want to get calls, but you just cook the best that you can, and then you got to get lucky. That's only how people walk the stage, is just consistency. You got to get lucky. And for me personally, I'm not one of the bandwagon guys, and that gets out there and uses everybody else's stuff, and everybody gets on the same note and use the same injection, the same rubs, and I get it. I understand they want to win, they want instant gratification, so they don't want to put in the work. Well, for me, I really do like the process of cooking. I love finding out stuff, and granted, there's things you pick up inherently with your friends just sitting around pecking a netty light and talking, you know.
Sure.
But I've never been that guy to sit there and ask. And there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with asking questions. I mean, people ask me questions all the time, and I got no problem answering them. But I'm just never that guy that's just going to find out exactly what you're doing so I can mimic it. I've just never been that guy. And so win, lose, or draw, if I walk the stage and it's for my little concoction and my little rubs and it makes me feel good. I don't care if I got ninth place of brisket. You know, it makes me feel it's a badge of honor for me to be able to walk that stage and be able to compete with these guys just doing my own little thing.
Well, plus you look really good in bib overalls. I mean, you know, let's face it. You look good.
Course.
And now you're doing pizza commercials.
Yeah, I tell you what, man, it's an honor. You know what I mean? 99% of the people, the feedback I got was incredible. My phone's still blowing up where people are just, you know, seeing me. And I really thank Little Caesars for, like, you know, going directly after me. When I found out through the marketing company that was the middle person, they didn't ask for anybody else but Mo Kayson. So I thought that was really cool.
Well, there.
So that was, you know, I mean, a lot of the times I know how TV works, you know. They have a list of people they want to go after, and then they'll see who can buy it and what they can afford and how that stuff. But that was really cool. It's a blessing, it's an honor. It was a great opportunity, and hopefully I can work with them again in the future.
So, well, I'm sure you will, because that spot's running hot out here on the West Coast. When you started developing stuff, and did you follow your own kind of system there, meaning that you partially answered this before, but did you come up with your own rubs? Did you have a taste or a look that you had in mind where you wanted to go with originally, or did you do it through kind of trial and error? And you know, we all make mistakes, and then you finally got to it.
It was a mixture of. I mean, you know, granted, I had a couple of cookbooks that I bought early on. They were basically generic barbecue books, and so I kind of got a sense of what a basic rub is. You know,
right.
Your garlic powder, chili powder, salt, black pepper, onion powder. You know, you got to start from there. Then you can start. And then I start playing around with different spices and concentrations of each spice. And that's how I start developing my own rub, you know, what I liked, what I didn't like. You know, me being from Iowa, things tend to be fairly sweet, which I'm not a very sweet. I don't like things extremely sweet.
Oh, you're a real sweet guy, Mo. Come on now.
Yeah. I got a big heart. But I just, for flavor-wise, I mean, you know, like ribs. I get it. I don't mind a little sweetness on ribs, but I don't like stuff like candy. It bothers me. So, but that's something that I've evolved. But that's how I grew up. But, you know, when we barbecued and everything, things weren't overly sweet, you know. But when I started doing competitions, I started seeing these guys using like caro syrup and maple syrup, and I just never grasped into that. I just never understood that. And I understand it's always a different flavor profile. I guess that's what hits and whatever. But I'm just not that guy. So I you got to be happy with what you turn in. I understand the evolution of me having to play the game a little bit in order to try to get calls and everything like that. But it ends up being inconsistent, you know what I mean? So I realized just do what you like and then try to make it the best you can. And then it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
no, yeah.
You know, I have more peace in myself if I can walk away and say, hey, I turned in a great product. I liked it, you know, whereas I'm turning in a product, I wouldn't eat this crap at home, but I'm going to turn it in because I want to score and win. And there's a lot of people that are that way, and I'm not that guy.
I've actually done a couple barbecue contest as a judge. Well, actually more than a couple, but a couple come to mind here real quickly because we're going to go to break in a second. But like, I remember we were actually sitting away from the barbecue area. We were across the street in a building and they brought over the boxes, you know? And so when they opened up this one box, the smell, I guess is the nicest way to put it, of like liquid smoke just permeated the room. And I mean, it dang near gagged you right then. And then other people, they had this beautiful looking, you know, it was brisket slices and had the slices. They looked good. The presentation was good, but there was absolutely no flavor to it. So, you know, it's, like you say, you stick by your guns. Hey, we're going to take a break here in a minute, but I want to tell you really quickly about Knob Hill Outfitters. They're the providers of hearth and home products at a deep discounted prices. And right now you can get close to closeout prices on all the stock Enviro and Vistaflame wood, gas, and pellet stoves. Like the VF100 fireplace pellet insert for only $22.99. That's $1,000 before the list, below the list price. And also Sawtooth Grills model 410. They are made in the USA. $8.99. It's saving you a couple $100 there. Usually about $1,100. So go see Jim at Knob Hill Outfitters on Lake Road, just west of Oatfield Road in Milwaukee, inside Milwaukee Floral and Garden, online at knobhilloutfitters.com. We'll be back with Big Mo right after this. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. It's me and my new second-in-command here, Producer Dave. We can call you Dr. Dave, too, if you want.
Doctor.
Doctor. The Doctor Dave.
Doctor's in.
The Doctor's in. Welcome to us, to Dave, to Mo, to everybody here. But I guess I need to tell you about our email address for some reason, even though we get a few every week. It's barbecuenation@kxl.com, or you can send one to recipes@kxl.com. And I'm going to do your first duty for you here, Dave, because we didn't have time to do this today. Our Facebook is always Barbecue Nation, and that is actually spelled out with JT. That's all you got to do. Type that in Facebook, and you can kind of see us here. Also, hi to a couple of our affiliates, KACI in Hood River and the Dalles, and KWVR in Enterprise, and, of course, our new affiliate in Seattle, 570 KVI up there. And we've got Big Mo Kaysen with us. He's driving in Missouri today, man. So how's the weather in Missouri?
It's nice. I kind of hit a little small rainstorm coming down, but it's nice now. It's overcast right now, but it's 64. It's been as high as 81, but now it's 64. So it all depends on where the front is. I'm actually driving. It was sunny when I left Joplin, Missouri, but now it's cloudy and it's dropped down to 64 degrees outside. So, but as I go further north, it's going to get a little cooler. But yeah, it's a nice day.
Yeah, for Missouri, that is a nice day. I was there judging a horse show one time, and we had snow, sleet, hail, rain, and about a 70-degree sun afternoon, and that was just kind of freaky. But
Kansas City area, that's how it is down here in this part. It's crazy.
You get a lot of light shows there, buddy. A lot
there
of light shows. Yeah. What's the biggest thing that you think you've accomplished so far? And I don't mean particularly wins. You can talk about wins, but you know, you've developed a career. You've obviously got great products in that. You've got a catering business and a restaurant business that's coming on strong here.
I don't have a restaurant business yet.
It's coming.
Vending, of course, to have a restaurant, but no, I haven't opened one up yet because I have opportunities to happen. And if I had a restaurant right now, I wouldn't be able to do all these things. Like, I just came back from New Zealand, and that's a great opportunity. If I had a restaurant, I wouldn't be able to do that.
Sure.
So, you know, I'm going to Australia here in May, or the first week of May, and then I'm going to Germany this year. I'm going to Sweden all for barbecue. So those opportunities are great, great opportunities for me, and allows me to be able to just see the world, have fun, get different, and which is great. And,
oh, sure.
It's just a great opportunity. I'm a very happy man, but I was a happy man when I first started competing too. So it's the same, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of things have opened up for me, which makes things a lot easier for me to compete. My barbecue count looks a lot better than what it did back in 2006. But it's good, man. I mean, I'm a happy man. I still got a full time job at home working for the city water treatment operator. Been doing that for 24 years, and I've been holding both things down. So I've been multitasking for, you know, I said again, I've been working for 24 years. It's been good.
Well, 24 years is a long time, and but you're doing what you love. So I got to ask you this. I'm an old history buff. You were in the Navy. You were on the Missouri.
Yep.
Is that where you got the name Big Mo, or was it strictly from your stature?
No, it's back when I was younger. It's just that story. It just happened to be I scored at the top of my class in my BTMM school, which is engineering school, and in Great Lakes, Illinois. And then I was able to get first pick of orders, and I picked USS Missouri Battleship.
There you go.
And it was a great honor, the honor to serve on that ship. That ship, historic, legendary, and that's old school stick shift type ship, man. That's old school, which I was very, very privileged to be one of the very few human beings on this globe to serve on that ship. And so it's an honor to serve in the Navy, period. But to serve on a historic ship like that ship had so much clout and class. It was just, it's just amazing. I mean, it's just, wherever we went, man, it was just a stud. And I mean, it's just seriously, that's just the ship, man. It's an awesome ship. So she's a museum now in Hawaii, and I want to get my wife and kids to go over there and see her. But, you know, I just got to get around to it and doing it. But it was an honor to serve in the Navy. It was a great thing for me. It allowed me to have the job I have today, you know. And so I'm a very, very, very pro-military guy.
Sure.
Very, you know, very happy.
Mo, what's the one thing that you've kind of adapted over the years in your cooking and your cooking, whether it's at home or in the competitions, but what have you adapted? I mean, we all change, but you probably adapted something.
Here's the thing about me. I said again, I've always cooked by myself. I've always been a one-man team. So I always had to learn to, you know, when I first did my first few contests, I brought everything in the kitchen sink. I learned real quick, you're going to have to stop that crap because that ain't going to work. So I bring just enough in order to perform the task I need to. And so the advantage of cooking all these years by myself competing, it has allowed me to multitask very well in the heat of the battle. I mean, granted, it's nice sometimes to be able to have extra pair of hands, but being that I've done it from day one, that's probably the best thing that I can tackle anything. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I don't care if it's 100 degrees outside. It's 34. I don't want to cook.
No, I understand. When I started cooking on television almost 20 years ago, I was a one-man show, and so like you, I did everything, you know, from packing it up to creating the recipes to bringing it back after the show. And I think that gives you a really good comfort level to have things just the way you want them, and then you do change, you do that, but you're the one that's doing it. You're not doing it because of somebody else.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
So we're.
Yeah, I see. Yep.
Go ahead, Mo. I was going to say we're going to take a break here in just a minute. If you can wrap that up in about 30 seconds, whatever you were going to say, that'd be fine. But.
No. I'm just kind of reiterating what you're saying. You know, I mean, when you do it by yourself, you control every point, every change. Throwing sticks in a smoker, making adjustments, all that's on you. So, it just makes you a better cook. If you look at what you're doing and put forth 100%, it'll make you a better cook.
There you go.
I truly believe that.
Okay, we're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. We're going to be back with Big Mo Kaysen right after these messages. Hey, you're back here on Barbecue Nation with me, JT, Dr. Dave, and also Mo Kaysen. Mo is that good-looking guy with those really cool glasses on the Pitmaster show. I'm not quite as big as Mo, but I'm pretty close to it. And but where do you get those glasses, man? They're just trip. They're just great stuff.
I'm a big fan. I've got probably 6 pair. I got 2 more coming this week, actually, that I bought. But they're... they're called, hold on, let me remember what the hell they're called. AM Eyewear out of Australia.
Okay.
And I found them on eBay, and I fell in love with them, man. I think I've probably bought 8 pair. I bought a couple giving my daughter, but they're just real rugged, stylish glasses. I mean, rugged. I mean, they're heavy duty, man. And so I just, I, you know, I said again, I just bought 2 more. pairs, and they're going. They should be at my house this week, if not next.
You got to get those guys to sponsor you, Mo.
Man, they ain't worried about monkeys. I just.
No, I know, but
they're way over in Australia.
Oh, I know, but in my work, I've had people sponsor me from Canada and actually from Australia and stuff over the years. You know, they keep you in glasses. You know, 20 pair a year. You can. It's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. I understand that. I mean, you know, you never know what the future holds. You know. Yeah.
You never know. I've been to Australia 3 times, and I'll tell you, it was all 3 times were really crazy and a lot of fun. And I learned some cooking stuff down there. So there you go.
Cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to going in May there. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Oh, you'll have a ball. Trust me. So what kind of stogies are you smoking?
Well, what's cool is I got for the last few years, I've done the Danville, the Kentucky State Barbecue Festival in Danville, Kentucky.
Right.
And there's a guy called, that's one of the vendors that sells into that festival, Kentucky Gentleman Cigar Company, I think if I'm saying that correctly. Really nice guy, makes some really great cigars. I mean, he just does a really hand-rolled cigars, high quality. And so I've kind of known him for the last 3 years. So now, and he approached me with an idea a couple of years ago about having my own cigar. And, you know, we just never, you know, got around to it until finally to now. So I've got I'm making an order Saturday, my first purchase order. But I got these custom high-end cigars that are just really, really flavorful, really good quality cigars. And they're Maduro. But they're not so much. They're not as hardcore as a lot of Maduros out there. So
sure.
Don't get scared away because it's a Maduro full body. It's actually a really good flavored cigar, and it won't give you the bends or nothing. I mean, everybody's different, but it doesn't do that to me. And I'm kind of a lightweight when it comes to Maduros, and it's actually a really good smoke. But it has a slightly infused barbecue smoke infused in it.
Oh, there you go.
It dissipates once you start smoking it. For like the first 5 minutes, but it's there. Smells great, but it's on. Then it just takes on just a really good quality cigar after that. And so I'm going to be starting to sell those cigars. I buy them from him, and then I'll put them on my website, and that's going to start happening here. So I'm making an order Saturday, and then I'm going to, and then when they get shipped to me, I'm going to actually have my web guy redo my webpage and add a tab for that. So I'll start having more case on barbecue cigars, which I'll have my own cigar, which is cool.
Well, there you go. That's pretty cool, Mo. All right, are you ready to play our lightning round?
Sure.
Okay. So the way this goes is I ask you some sometimes relevant, sometimes irreverent questions, and you just kind of give me the first answers that come into your mind, okay?
Okay.
Okay. What's the hardest part about being a barbecue personality for you?
Sleep,
yeah. I can believe that. How long did it take you to learn not to peek under the lid, as it were?
Oh, first time, 2 times.
2 times? Okay. What barbecue skill took you the longest to master?
Brisket.
That's a tough one. You know, I think everybody pretty much on the show has always said brisket's the one that takes the longest to really, you know, get your head around it, so to speak.
Yep.
Okay, fill in the blank on this. Liquid smoke should be used for?
I ain't got no problem with liquid smoke. A lot of people get frowned on it, but liquid smoke is just, it's natural. So I don't see a problem putting liquid smoke in your barbecue sauce. I mean, some people get carried away on liquid smoke because you get the smoke from the meat, from the smoking process. That's
right,
great.
Right, right.
But for the everyday guy that's going to the grocery store, that's a good that the liquid smoke is a nice element to that sauce. It really is. For the guy that's not cooking on a Weber, not taking it away from Weber, but you know, if a guy's cooking in their oven or they're cooking in their crock pot or they're cooking, you know, on a pit that maybe not an
right.
electric cooker or whatever, liquid smoke is your friend. You know, as long as you use it correctly, it's not a bad deal. You know, people crack me up. Well, you know, dude, you use what you want to use. I try to look at it. I mean, people crack me up when they think they know it all. No, okay? I mean, liquid smoke is just condensed smoke that's put on a cool plate, and it condenses down, and that's what you have. So, I mean, it's people. Oh, yeah, liquid smoke. They want to frown on it.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. I don't look at it in a negative sense as people that. I don't understand why they would look down on it. I mean, it's just one of those elements that you add to a sauce. If you want to add a little bit more depth in your sauce, that'll do it, you know, as long as you use it right.
Well, I think one of the things about it, and we kind of got off the track here, but that's okay. The times that I think it's very been abused, I was telling you in an earlier segment about where I was judging, and you opened up the lid on this turn-in box, and all you smelled was liquid smoke. And then
that's what I'm saying. It's very potent stuff.
You know, oh, yeah.
Right?
It's potent.
It's just like you putting a stick of mesquite on, putting like a 4-inch circumference, 12-inch long stick of mesquite on a Weber kettle.
Right.
And, I mean, you ain't. It's going to be a bad deal on your hamburgers. It's going to be a bad deal.
Oh yeah.
And that's because they're not using it right. And that's the same thing with local smoke. If you use a little bit goes a long ways. It can actually enhance and add depthness to your sauces, but you got to use it correctly. I mean, to where it's like, I mean, I put it in my bean. I mean, even though, like, if I ain't got time to have my bean set in my pit for 6 hours, 5 hours, you know, if I want to do something real quick, I add a little bit to it, and then I put my beans in the cooker. And I'm telling you what, man, these beans they're awesome. But then it's a balance. It's all about balance.
Oh, sure.
I how you use it. I mean, you know, same thing with smoking, seasoning, sauce. All that is layers of balance. If you've got one sauce in the end, it's gonna have problems with your product. If you got too much smoke, it's a bad thing. If you got too much seasoning, it's a bad thing. If you got too much sauce, it's a bad thing. You know what I mean? So it's all about layers and balance of layers, so therefore you can have a really good product at the end.
All right, we got about a minute and a half or so before we go to break here. So let me try to get a couple more of these questions in.
Okay.
Excuse me. If I declared you supreme ruler of barbecue for 1 week, what would you decree?
Everybody get out with their family and cook in the backyard.
Okay. All right. Now some very important questions. Have you ever cooked in the snow in your underwear?
No.
Okay. Boxers or briefs?
Briefs.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Led Zeppelin or Slim Whitman?
Colt Ford.
Okay, Colt Ford. There you go. Your favorite movie of all time?
Oh man, I'm a big war movie type guy. So, John Wick.
Oh yeah, I love John Wick too.
John Wick got it going on.
All right, man, you passed the lightning round. So we're gonna take another break, and we're gonna be back and finish up this week's Barbecue Nation with Mo Kaysen right after this. You don't want to miss any of the show. This is good stuff. We'll be back.
Well, I never been to Spain. But I kinda like the music. See, the ladies are insane there, and they sure know how to use it. They don't abuse it, never gonna lose it. I can't refuse it. Well, I never been to England, but I kinda like the Beatles. Well, I hit it for Las Vegas, only made it out to Needles. Can you feel it? Must be.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. We've got Big Mo Kaysen with us today. He's driving. He's driving through Missouri today and dodging, like, you know, lightning and thunder and sunshine and all that stuff back there. I've been to Missouri a bunch of times, so I know what the weather's like there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You, I think you have a really good outlook on barbecue and competing. I mean, out of the four people that were filming the other day, you know, I thought that was pretty good. But I got a couple really pressing questions, and they're not gotcha questions, but I got to ask you. How the hell do you understand Stubby?
Stumps?
Stumps, I mean, yeah.
I tell you what, the first time I listened to Stumps, I had to sit there and do, you know, I had to use Jedi mind tricks and really focus on what he was saying come out of his mouth. But once after I had an initial conversation with him, and we came, you know, we were friends, we're buds, I understand exactly what he's saying. It's weird. I understand exactly what he says. And because I understand, I understand that draw, that South Georgia draw. And his is a lot more pronounced than Myron, because Stumps doesn't live that far from Myron.
Right.
But I understand him. It sounds like he's mumbling, but he's actually, you know, I understand every word that's coming out of his mouth. That's because I've been around him enough to where, you know, I know what he's saying. And I mean, that's his old Stumps. You know, he don't.
No,
you know, you just gotta know his cadence.
Yeah.
Once you know his cadence and know what he's, you know, you kind of get a sense of what he's talking about. And you know, I understand him now. But the first time though, it took me. I missed a lot of things he was talking about. I was just kind of looking at his warm mouth and trying to kind of take it all
figure
in.
Figure out what it was.
You know.
Yeah. Well, it just sounds to me like he's got about one fistful of Red Man too much in his cheek there. But I don't even think he chews on the show. But it's just kind of funny. So we've had Myron on the show before and had a blast with him. Anything you can do to needle him a little bit, get him off his game?
You know, here's my thing. I don't really try to, and I understand competition barbecue, and I understand, I really enjoy competing. And I enjoy doing the best that I can.
Right.
I'm not that guy that's going to pop. I understand the benefit of trying to pop your collar. I'm not saying that that's mine at all, but I'm just saying there's a sprinkling of people out there that think that that's the win all, the be all. Yeah, we want to win. We want to do the best we can. But nobody in the game today is writing a script. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What I mean by that, there's nobody creating anything new. 90%, I won't say 90%, I would say a good portion of the people out there are piggybacking off the other people. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
That's just what it is. And the people that are actually doing stuff the way their family or the brother or the aunt or the mother or whatever, those are the guys you're not going to see getting the calls, generally. Okay? That's not the guys. Okay? But I give those guys much respect, male and female, because they're doing what they like and is good, and they give it their all. I have a hard time, and I understand the game of competition barbecue. It's just like bowling, it's just like fishing. Competition fishing is like NASCAR, whatever. Unfortunately, the guys, they all piggyback off each other. There's nothing original about them. So they get some winning, be humble about it. Be humble. Be humble because you took X, Y, and Z class, or so-and-so told you to use X, Y, and Z, and told you exactly how to do it. So don't walk around and thinking that you're writing a game or writing a script, because you're not, okay? The people that are writing a script was those people who are digging them holes in the ground and making that barbacoa back in the day. Those are the people writing the script. That's just keeping it real. So I'm a humble man. I love competing. I want to do the best I can, but be humble. You know, and majority of people out there are pretty humble. And the barbecue people are just, it's a big family. They're great people. And I'm kind of emphasizing on just a few percentage of people, but majority of people have fun, and they do it with their friends and their family, and they give it their all, and they do the best they can. And I give those people as much respect as the guys that are winning it all, okay? But in a sense, if you're humble, if you give thanks to who you learned it from, because you ain't writing a script. It just cracks me up. I mean, you get nine teams, and eight of the teams using the same damn thing. And there's nothing original about it.
Right.
And then they're getting first, second, third, fourth in the brisk category, and they're walking around, woo, and, dude, you ain't doing nothing.
Right.
Okay? It's the guy that's back to this 12th, 13th, 14th that has this great recipe. But it may not be, you know, he may be putting raspberry glaze on his ribs. Well, raspberry ribs are not what's that.
Right.
What's happening.
Hey, Mo?
Okay, but they're damn good ribs. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. No, I understand completely. But we're out of time for this show, so we'd like to have you back on again. You're a lot of you're a lot of fun. You're an interesting guest, and like I said, you look damn good in bib overalls too, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
So stick around till we finish the show because I want you to do something for me. Anyway, that's all the time we have this week on Barbecue Nation. Remember, our slogan here is "Turn it, don't burn it." You can check me out on thecowboycook.com, and we'll see you next week. That's all I got. I'm out.